Father God, as we are gathered here today, it is because of the life, the birth, the blood, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. It is his precious name that gives us life. It is his precious name and sacrifice that gives us hope. It is by his willingness to suffer and die on our behalf that we can live. As we sing these words, Father, I am reminded of that anew. As we take communion later, God, we pray that it will impact us because of that. Father, as we are here this morning, we pray that your Spirit would open our hearts and our minds to hear from you. God, we pray that you would speak this morning in fellowship, in worship, and through your word as well, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, Happy New Year again, everyone. It is a very special time. 2015 is gone. 2016 is upon us. Lots of celebrating and reminiscing over the last number of days, I imagine, for most of you. Remembering the year that was and hopefully looking forward to the year that is coming. There's always lots of things to be thinking about. Sometimes it feels a little bit like an arbitrary holiday, kind of it's just the turning of a calendar page. But there's something significant about it. There's something that matters somehow. It's just a Friday to Saturday in this case, I guess, or whatever. But there's something about that moment that seems to matter. There's something that stands out to us. It feels like an opportunity to start over, to move in a new direction, almost. And we can only escape so much what happened in the last year, but it feels like we have a chance to make that New Year's resolution and maybe do better. Maybe we'll carry it a little further than we did last time. It's a chance to move toward the things that we wanted to do. Maybe we got stalled a little bit last year. We lost focus. And it feels like we get a chance to start over, to start fresh. Maybe to rebuild things that have fallen apart a little bit on us. And as we look back, some of you are going to see a lot of positive and exciting things from the year that was, good things that happened. Maybe it was a new job or a promotion. Maybe it was a new baby or a new relationship or a new house or a renovation or an awesome vacation or memory that you have from the last year. And that's good. That's exciting. Some of us are going to remember 2015 as a pretty tough year, a year of hardship, a year of loss, a year of struggle and distraction and disappointment. And in reality, it probably was a combination of those things. Because a year is a long time. It can be tough to remember back to even last January, February, things that were going on that far back. And somehow every year seems filled with celebration and struggle. There's good and bad things that happen to us no matter what. Each year brings its own exciting opportunities and real difficulties that we have to deal with and overcome. And that's just life. That's just the way it works. And that's why church family is such an important part of that. Because in our journey, we're going to have times where we are celebrating. And we can share that joy. And we can encourage and hold up and care for one another. And there's going to be times each year where we are struggling. Where we're suffering. Where there's hardship going on. And we need to rely on the body around us to hold us up. To encourage us and care for us. Carry us, maybe, sometimes. But one thing is for sure, no matter what that last year looked like, maybe it was mostly celebration, maybe it was mostly hardship for you, no matter what, one thing we can guarantee is that God was there. God was moving. God was working. He was bringing those blessings together, allowing you to experience those amazing things. And he was walking right beside you, mourning with you, weeping with you in those hard times as well. God was there, no matter what was happening. And the whole time, he was inviting you to journey with him. Not to just kind of wander through the year aimlessly, but the opportunity was there. And you seized it at moments, I'm sure. I know I did, and I know there's opportunities that I missed as well, that I let float by. But God was inviting you to be on mission with him, to be journeying with him, to be working with him, building his kingdom, sharing his gospel, experiencing life with him every moment of every day of 2015. And that opportunity exists for 2016 as well. Every day, every moment, God's inviting us to be part of it with him. Jesus said we got to take up our cross daily. We forget so fast. We get lazy so fast. We got to remind ourselves every day that God is there. He's walking with you. He's journeying with you. He's speaking to you. Ready to encourage you. Ready to love on you, care for you, push you sometimes. And that's what we've been talking about this year. In this fall, our theme has been entrusted, living in and living out the gospel. We've been exploring together what it means to really embrace this gospel life, this full and amazing life that God is talking about, that Jesus describes, that Jesus displays for us in every moment of every day. What does it mean to live in the reality of God? To live in that spiritual reality. What does that look like? We want to embrace the truth and life of the gospel in good times and in bad times for the blessings that God promises. That's okay. God wants to bless us, and that's good. But for the support in the hardship and struggle as well, and because he loves and cares for us. He wants to walk with us because he loves us. He likes you. He thinks you're pretty cool. He made you the way that you are, and he wants to spend time with you and enjoy what you are. Not where you are all the time. God wants us to move towards holiness and life and purity with him. But he loves you just as you are, and he wants to be with you, walking beside you. But even more than that, even more than inviting God into our lives, he is inviting us into his. Not just to make him a part of our life, to fit him in, but inviting us to be completely submerged, submitted fully, giving up everything, and becoming fully a part of his life and work. This morning we want to look at a passage that kind of speaks to this a little bit, something that Jesus said to his disciples. He's nearing the end of his life. He's nearing the crucifixion, and he talks about this difference between trying to make God a part of your life and actually giving him your whole life. And Jesus' entire life and ministry was trying to show us that. The difference between fitting God in and the difference between actually embracing the reality of God fully and completely. So this is right near the end of Jesus' ministry, and they finished the Last Supper. Though I imagine they didn't call it that. It'd be a little bit weird if Jesus invited them to the Last Supper, and that'd be a little ominous, and they'd be like, what do you mean, Last Supper? But Jesus is telling them some final things, and he's trying to prepare them, trying to get them to understand that he is going to leave them. He's going to be killed, and he's going away, and he's going to send the counselor to help them. The Spirit is going to come, but he's trying to get them to understand what his whole mission and ministry has been about. What's the purpose? Trying to prepare them for what is coming, to show them what life is really all about. He's been living it with them for 3 years now, but now he's laying some of these things out a little bit more clearly. He's trying to describe what he's doing in different ways, what's going to happen. And he uses a metaphor to describe the relationship between a human being and God as it was created to be, to try to help his disciples to understand. And he uses this metaphor that is absolutely incredible. And I'm sure you've heard it before if you've read the Gospel of John. But the more you dig into it, the more you think about it, the more you meditate on it and allow it to just roll around in your brain, the more incredible this metaphor gets and what God is offering to us. What he's holding out and saying, just take it, grab it, it's yours. So turn with me this morning to John chapter 15. We're going to read the first 17 verses. And it's the parable of the vine and the branches. And Jesus shares some incredibly powerful truths here. And we're going to read together and just allow him to speak to your heart this morning. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. So again, they're at the table. They're getting ready to go. And go out to the garden. And just before this, Jesus says, come now, let us leave. They're ready to leave from the dinner. Jesus pauses and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, he says. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such a branch is picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, he says, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my Father's name, I will give to you. This is my command: love each other. Amen. There's a lot there. In this short passage, Jesus lays out some absolutely incredible things, but verse 5 is mostly where we want to focus this morning, because there's a promise in there that I think we need to take advantage of, that God's offering to us. What Jesus says there is huge. Verse 5, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We think we're pretty capable. We think we can handle ourselves pretty well. Jesus says here, apart from me, you can do nothing. He is the vine. We are the branches. If we remain in him, connected to him, fed by him, supported by him, held by him, relying entirely on him, we will bear fruit. We will live. We will be fulfilled. We will have purpose and energy and life. Apart from him, we can do nothing. This is amazing. This is big. What Jesus is telling us here should challenge the way we approach life at a very fundamental level. Because even as much as I've thought about this passage, as much as I've meditated, prayed on this passage, I still rely on myself first. I still go to my own well first. If I'm trying to accomplish something, I go to what I know. I go to what I'm comfortable with. I go to my own energy first, every time. And Jesus is telling us we can't do that. We have to rely on God entirely. The branch is held by the vine. The branch is connected to the vine, not because the branch wants to be, because the vine holds it. Not because of anything the branch brings to the table. The branch relies on the vine entirely for everything. Jesus says if we're disconnected from the vine, we shrivel up and we're thrown away. And that happens fast. You have a dead branch fall on your, you have a branch fall on your lawn from a tree. It does not last long. Within a day or two, there's nothing left. The life is gone. We can't try to do it ourselves. God is not a crutch. He's not an emergency shelter for us. He's not just the place we go when everything goes wrong, when we don't know what else to do. He's supposed to be first. He's supposed to be only. He isn't just there when we're in trouble or overwhelmed or need to call in the big guns. He is life itself. He's offering it to us. What does he say after this? Where does he go? If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Without him, without a constant, deep connection to God, it's not survival. It's not strength. It's not independence. There is no life. There is no life without God. You're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Without God, there's nothing. Without God, we are nothing. And he goes on, such a branch is picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. There's no use for it. It's not producing fruit. It's not relying on the life that God offers. It's not being productive. It's just laying there, taking up space. And it must be gotten rid of. There's no use for it. We were made to be connected to God. We were made, created to have that constant, continuous, life-giving, secure connection. It's like our cell phones. Without a cell signal or a Wi-Fi signal, it's just a black brick. I can't do much with it. And whatever I can do is pretty selfish. It's basically focused on this device and what can happen on it. I can take a few notes. I can maybe play a little doodle jump and waste some time. But there's no life. There's no connection there. And as soon as it's connected to a cell signal or a Wi-Fi signal, all of a sudden, the world goes from this tiny little black square to the entire human population, to the entirety of the collected knowledge of humanity through the internet, through my phone. I can contact any person on planet Earth. I can look up any piece of information that I can possibly imagine. I can learn and grow in so many different ways if it's connected. Without that, it's useless. It's worthless. It's a selfish device that accomplishes nothing. I read a book many years ago by a man named Andrew Murray, a great Christian discipler and thinker of the 20th century. He wrote a book called Abide in Christ, and he works off of this passage, the vine and the branches. And the whole idea of this book, I love his writing. He writes like it's such a caring, gentle grandfather. He says, my child, and stuff like that. It makes you feel so warm and cared for as you're reading through it. Even as he's just like hammering you with this heavy truth that I am not anywhere near where I need to be. But it's encouraging somehow. He writes this book, Abide in Christ, working off of this passage. And the idea is the fact that we are not, again, we're not meant to live apart from Jesus. And so often our journey with Jesus is about drawing near and falling away. And drawing near and falling away. And moments where we feel close to God. And then fade away and fade away and fade away and fade away until we feel lost and disconnected and dry and lifeless. And then we make this big effort and we come back. And for a little while we live in the spring and we live in the life that God offers. And we're connected to the vine and then we fall away and fall away and fall away. And he says, have you ever thought that that's not necessary? Have you ever thought that when Jesus says, abide in me, that word doesn't mean hang around every now and again. It means stay there. It means we can live 100% every second of every day for our entire life connected to God. That's allowed. We can do that. And in fact, that's what we're supposed to be doing. The vine doesn't just hold on to the branch sometimes. We don't just plug the vine into the branch every now and again when we need a little juice up. The branch is a part of the vine. It lives in the vine. And apart from it, there is no life. Our journey with Jesus so often comes in short bursts, moments when we're deeply troubled or struggling. And we cry out to God, times when we feel lost and distant. Sometimes we're experiencing great blessing and success, and we cry out to God and thank Him in those moments when we remember, when we're willing to acknowledge that it wasn't how awesome we were necessarily. But that's so far from the experience that God intends for us. It's so far from the life that He's offering to us. It's not about short bursts. It's not about isolated experiences, disconnected moments seeking relief. Once a week or a couple times a month at church, or the occasional Bible study or solo time when we remember and fit it in. Every now and again, turning on Shine FM or listening to a sermon and feeling encouraged for a few seconds. Those things are good. Those things are a part of being encouraged. Those things are a part of our life with Jesus. But they have to be a part of our entire journey with Jesus. It has to be a part of a life lived connected to Him, lived in constant connection, deeply and intimately drawing on Him, living a life in prayer, in the Word, constantly concerned with His kingdom, His gospel, His purposes, what He is about, what He is doing. Like the branch of a tree held fast, sustained, fed by its roots, part of something bigger. And why? Not just for ourselves. He says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. It's not just about being fed and becoming spiritually bloated. It's so that we can bear fruit, so that we can be a blessing, so that we can be a part, a branch in that tree, providing shade and rest for others, sustenance for others, being used by God to reach out and care for others that have not yet connected to the vine. Showing them what that life is about. It's not just about being fed and getting filled up more and more and more. We need to go and do, use what God is pouring into us. That's where life is found, as God starts flowing through us, not just in. We're not independent or strong when we seek to live otherwise. You're not stronger than those other people that need that all the time connection. You're living in sin and selfishness to do that. We're not meant to be free of our Creator, to be independent of Him. That was the original lie. That's where it all started. We don't need God. We can be Him. We're strong enough on our own. Jesus shows us just how wrong that is. He lived and moved and spoke only what He saw the Father doing. He lived that connection. He showed us what it looks like. And in John, He tells us too that what I've done, you can do. And in fact, you can do even more. because the Holy Spirit's coming. We can be like Jesus because he said so. And God's with us. He showed us that we were created to be with him and in him and what that really looks like. And then he invited us into that experience. And that's exciting. That's amazing. God encourages us in Psalm 1, one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3, he said, "Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person, it says, is like a tree planted by streams of water, yielding its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." That person that is connected to God, that is living in the Word, that is living in the Spirit, living in prayer, is like a tree planted by streams of water. Think of those trees on the bank of a river. How thick and full of life they are. How healthy they are. God wants us to be planted right along the banks of the river. Fed by him constantly, renewed, refreshed, bearing fruit for him, for his glory. It's what we were created to do. Connect to the vine, plant yourself by the river, abide in Christ. Don't just visit. It's going to take some reorganization of your life. It's not about fitting Jesus in. It's about reorienting everything so that he is the center of it all. He doesn't fit in our life. He's too big for that. But he invites us to put him in the middle and let everything else fall into place around that. Don't just visit. Don't just draw near and wander away. Stay, live there, and you will experience life and blessing beyond what you can even begin to imagine. A fullness of life that will overflow in ways that will astound you. And whatever this year brings, celebration and blessing and new things and exciting things or hardship, we don't know. You will be in the place that you need to be to walk through it. And more than that, you will be in a place to pour out so much to others. The love and life that Jesus offers. This year, let's be a people that abide in Christ. Let's make that choice. Let's live in the vine that God uses to produce fruit to bless others. Live in the Word. Live in prayer. Live in faith. Live in step with the Spirit. Live in him. Pastor Dennis is coming back and he's got exciting things in store for us. God has been speaking exciting things to him. And if we choose to abide in Christ, we can be a part of that in incredible ways and experience God's kingdom in incredible ways together here. God has amazing things in store for us. John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." It's our choice to submit to that, to embrace that. This morning we're going to enjoy communion together. And as we take that, as we do that, let that be a starting point for you. I love that we do it on the first Sunday of the month because as we start the new year, we can start celebrating communion together, remembering the sacrifice of Jesus together, showing us what this connected life looks like, offering it to us. Let it be a starting point, a new beginning for you this year as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus and his death on the cross that brings us life. Let's submit again to the grace of God. Rededicate yourself to him. Maybe give your life for the first time if you never have. give our lives to him anew, and let's see where he takes us. Let's see what he has in store for us as we allow him to feed us and fill us, flow through us. For our communion, we have crosses stations set up around the room if you're unfamiliar. And we're going to invite you as an individual, as a family, with friends. You can come up and take the elements, pray together. Again, pray for that new life. Pray for that new dedication of yourself. Pray that God would hold us fast, that he would help us to abide in him this year, that he would help us to put him at the center of our lives, as Jesus' sacrifice allows. If you're unable to get to one of the stations, I'll come around, just put your hand up, and I'll bring the elements to you. But as we take together, let's allow this to be a time of newness, a time of refreshing, a time of remembering and rededicating. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these incredible truths that you lay out for us. We thank you for the life and words of Jesus as he shows us what this life that you're offering is all about. He shows us what is really available to us. Father, you are the vine. We are the branches. Apart from you, we can't do anything. We thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus that allows us to reconnect to you as was meant, as was intended. And God, I just pray that you would help us to stay there. Help us not to rely on ourselves. Help us not to fall into old habits. Help us not to fall into thinking that we are capable enough to do it ourselves, God. Help us to recognize and understand that you are life. And apart from you, we can do nothing. Forgive us, Father, for the places we have failed in the past year, and help us, God, to do better, to walk closer, to live more humbly with you. In Jesus' name, amen.